All right, there we are. Welcome, everybody, to the Side Quest, your weekly video game podcast, the greatest podcast in the history of video games ever. The most popular one. Actually, I think we're one of the longest running podcasts in video games, surprisingly, over at sidequesting.com. We're probably one of the longest running video game websites, too. But anyways, I'm Dolly Domofsky. Joining me, as usual, the extremely handsome, okay, Quest. Zachary, how are you, man?
Pretty good. Don't have any complaints. So.
That's good. That's good. Very nice. Very nice. I think you got the AirPods going right now.
Yeah.
Very nice. They stand out nicely from your beard. I'm very jealous of you and JJ and Sam for being able to grow some really badass beards. I cannot. Mine just comes in splotchy and... Yeah,
you just have to you just have to grow it out, and it's splotchy for a couple of years, and then you shave it, and then it comes in like full.
Okay, I almost did it for the quarantine earlier, but we'll see. Maybe we'll get locked down again, and I'll be able to do it.
Maybe.
Who knows? Well, it's great to have you on. As usual, we're gonna have a good time talking tonight. I am sick. I don't have the Rona. I don't think I have the Rona. I was out. I've been doing walks a couple times a day, and so it's been raining and cold the last couple days, so that got me. So if I'm a little nasally today and my voice is cracking, you know that you guys know why. I'm extremely tired. I'm hopped up on medicine, but I'm taking some sips of the good stuff to get me through this before I hit the NyQuil at the end. So that's where I'm at. You're doing okay? You said no complaints.
Yeah, I got no complaints. It's been icy and snowy here the past couple of days. So.
Icy and snowy by you?
What the heck? Yeah, it was like 28 degrees the past couple of days.
Oh, my Lord. Sorry, I'm readjusting my microphone here. I'm trying to put the mic up, but I'm getting shadows in my face. Is that okay? Sound is still okay?
Yeah.
All right, good.
Well, so, that's the thing about Texas is people think it's just like always just kind of hot or like 70s and fall and stuff. But like we get the most extreme types of weather. It's either like summer it's 110, winter it's like freezing and snowing and ice, and then spring it just rains all the time. So.
Well, good. That's Michigan's kind of the same way because we get a lot of a lot of crazy weather. Same thing. It was like, I think it was 70 on, no, sorry, it was like 78 or 79 on Friday. And then the next day it was like 33. So we went from like basically summer shorts weather to snow in the matter of, a couple hours. So.
Yep. I get that.
We're nice and warm and cozy and toasty here in the, on the show. So that's always good in our own homes and these rooms. Talking about games, I want to hear what you've been playing, my good dude.
Oh, man. Okay. So I've been playing, let's see. I guess a review game I've been playing is Sukuna of Rice and Ruin.
Nice. All you can say is that it's a review game you're playing.
I can talk about the first three chapters. Hmm. So, and that's pretty much like, I can go into the mechanics of it, which is like probably the biggest selling point of it.
Yeah, that's what I was kind of interested in. Tell me a little bit about it.
So like it's a 2D side-scrolling like action game. Like it's pretty like heavily, like you'd think it's like a Devil May Cry type of game, but it feels more like a fighting game when it's like 2D. It's like really intense, fast moving combat with cancels and like teleports. It's just, it's like really insane. And then you have this other half of the game that's a farming game, but you're making rice. And that is as about as intricate as the fighting game is. Cause like, it's like you plant your rice and like, it like puts you into like a tank mode kind of controlling. So you got to like line yourself up to plant the rice. So you got to plant them. And there's like button prompts of like pressing and holding and like letting it go. Sure. So you have to like get everything right. And then it's like, oh, make sure to fill the water up to your ankles. So that's the right amount of water or whatever. So you fill it up and then each season is three days. So it's like, it's not like super long. So you see the growth of it pretty fast. You got like pick. So you go pick weeds every day. And then you go out and explore, and like each stage has missions for you to do, like, oh, get this much X from here. Oh, see this here, fight this boss. So you do that, and that progresses the story, but also the rice progresses the story too. So you go back and forth. You get things for the people who are staying with you in your little village. You supply them with things, and they make you weapons, armor. And there's a lady who cooks, so you go and get food stuff for her, and you cook, and you can like store it. And cooking is important because you want your people to eat good food, because you got to make fertilizer. So you have good fertilizer for your rice. So you have an outhouse, so you got to scoop poop from to put it in a fertilizing bin. And
I'm watching the video do that right now. That's great.
Yeah. So you do all that, and you gotta be really precise with the rice and stuff, and you have to dry it at the end of the season. Then you gotta pull it out, and then you gotta get rid of the shell, and it's really like precise and intense. And that makes you stronger, and that is also a part of the story of what you're doing for this goddess that you kind of betrayed. She was like having a rice festival, and these humans, your people that you're with, ransacked the party, and you were kind of involved. And
now it's such a weird mix of genres there.
Yeah, it's strange, but it works. Like it's really fun to play. It's pretty. It's made by two people, just a team of two guys that made it. I can't really say like anything bad about it, because it has so many weird intricacies of games that I like. Like all the systems push the story forward and push the mechanics forward, and it all just works together, even though it's very lopsided and weird. But the combat is a fighting game. Like you can like cancel
it straight up. It's kind of cool. Yeah.
You cancel moves into other moves, and you have like a ribbon that you use that you can use to get behind things. So you're like flashing around, going crazy, and yeah, it's just fun to play and like figure out combos and stuff. And you're farming, and it's the story is like, I want to say it's like amazing, but it's like a Pixar story. Like the main character is kind of a grouch, and they learn how to be like a nice person. Type of thing. So it's like really cute and fun. Then it has this like super like intricate farming of rice on the side. So yeah.
I love when games do that, when they'll just kind of take two ideas and jam them together, and it works in like a weird way. And you're big in these kinds of games, because like a lot of the games that you'll get for review, you especially, they'll be like, oh, this is cool action thing, and there's like this time aspect of it, and then all of a sudden you'll be like, and then there's a part where you're farming and you're marrying people, and this really feels like a Zack style game.
Yeah, no, I really love like farming games and action combo games. Like those are my favorite types of games. So
this actually seems like it's right up my alley too, because I love the visual style that you know that the game has.
Yeah,
so, cool.
And it's really easy to play in like smaller doses too. Okay. Because since the seasons are in 3 days, and like the days progress as fast as you want them to, so like you like do your farming stuff, and then you go out and fight, and then you go back, and then you can just end the day if you want to. So you just do that. Yeah, so it's pretty easy to like sit down and play and put up, and like I've probably put in maybe 10 hours. But I've
already cool.
Yeah, the press release says it's like 25 to 30 hours. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what they're going to, I don't know if anything else is going to happen, or if it's just going to be the same thing.
The same loop over and over again. Okay. Well, you'll be able to talk more about that later.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So you like what you've played so far then? It's kind of,
yeah, I really love it actually.
Cool.
Yeah. Excellent. Then there's this other game. Yeah, it comes out
November 10th.
November, yeah.
And then there's nothing happening that week. Nothing happening that week. Nope. Totally, sure. It's a clean slate for that week.
Yeah, there was that one game coming out. Now there's no new
hardware coming out or anything that week.
Oh yeah. Oh, that poor game. It's just gonna come out and no one's ever gonna
What else are you playing?
there's this indie game called Paradise Killer. I don't know if you saw
it. Oh, man. Everybody was talking about that one, too. It's another one I want to get it to.
It's like, and it's on Switch. So yeah. You should definitely get it. It's an open world detective game. Mm-hmm. That's the way you sell it. It's an open world detective game that throws this mystery at you and says, solve it. And it's just you and this island. It has some really interesting lore about like gods creating islands to try and create the perfect life and repeating cycles of demons and angels. There's a bunch of weird stuff. And you're an investigator trying to figure out like how this demon killed these angels and stuff. But it's like really neopunk, cyberpunk-esque looking and like cool character designs. And yeah, but it's just open world, like go at it and figure it out. And it's really confusing. It makes you think. It's super cool. I've played maybe an hour or two of it and I really want to get back to it, but I just keep getting distracted by other games. So
a lot of people were, or I don't say a lot of people, but enough people were starting to talk about this game because it has, you know, you mentioned open world detective, but it has sort of a, there are some retro-ish like, imagery and vibes to it, but at the same time, it just looks like, I love the visual style of this thing too. It looks really neat.
Yeah, it's like a walking art piece kind of like nice. it's an empty game.
Dr. Doom Jazz. That's awesome.
Dude, all the character names are so cool.
This it reminds me of No More Heroes, which we'll maybe touch on later on, but it's got those kind of crazy names.
Yeah, but this game it's like it's empty but to a design to where it's like it feels like a it feels like a museum you're walking around like every angle, every corner is kind of like an art piece. And I like games like that that let me just kind of like, I'm the type of person that takes like, if you say a game takes 30 hours, it's going to take me 60 because
I'm exactly the same way.
I just like walk around and look. So this game is fun for me because I'm going to like walk around, jumping, looking and stuff and trying to figure out this murder mystery that I'm definitely going to play before the year's over because I feel like it's going to be on my top five of the year.
Cool. It's been a great, I can't wait till our end of the year podcasts because
it's going to be weird.
It's going to be weird with all the, you know, the games that we've loved aren't these big giant games this year, you know? So you can owe some of that to the fact that a lot of these games are getting delayed. We'll talk about that. But also that, you know, the indies have capitalized on it and they've been pumping, they've been like relentlessly pumping out great video games, great content, great ideas, and it's working. Yep. So yeah, Paradise Killer, another indie game that's that seems really cool. Awesome. Very cool. Anything else?
No More Heroes is the other thing I've been
playing. You started that up. Nice.
Yeah, it's weird. It's a game that I played once when I was younger, like when it came out, I played it. And it's like I liked it, but I've always been a fan of those Devil May Cry, Bayonetta fighting games,
action games,
action games, character action games. But like now, and then also like the story and stuff, I didn't remember at all. But then like now, playing it as an adult and like just my taste, this game is just like it's almost a perfect game. And I don't say, I rarely say that. But it's like it's so smart and so funny, and it's like it's a direct kind of like it's making fun of games that I love.
It's a satire. It's a satire of the open world. Like it started off as sort of a open world Grand Theft Auto fake like he sued up specifically went out and called those games out when he was making this thing, and he went a different direction than the Saints Row series did, but it made his more action and assassin like. But I remember playing it on the Wii and thinking, "God, this game is just—it's weird." I liked it, but it was weird. And the more I kind of went back to it, I haven't played it in like nearly a decade. The more I realized, "Holy cow, this is like." Yeah, same way. It hits things now that are perfect.
Yeah,
like it's a perfect seven. It's a perfect seven game.
No, it's a perfect 10, dude. It's perfect. Like
I love it,
dude. It's like I've been playing it all day, and just to even like mention, like it runs at 60 frames a second, which is gorgeous.
So it's an HD port. It's not the Heroes Paradise. version that came out for the PS3. This is the actual original game, just up-resed a little bit.
Yeah.
And they made the sequel as well.
Yeah, so it runs at 60 frames, both of them do. And but yeah, it's like there's something really visceral about the combat that I really like. Because like with Bayonetta and Devil May Cry games, like once you know like what combos you like to do, you can just do them and like have fun and like make fun of the bad guys, blah, blah, blah. Like, but in this game, it's like he's doing that, but it's like the little fights to get into are like they're like really visceral. Like it's like you get angry. You're like just mashing the button. But then if you also know how to play, like if you're like, okay, he's blocking high, I can press this button and suplex him, or press this button and go under low. Like the game has responses and has things for you to do. And then also like swinging your sword, just cutting dudes in half, just feels so good.
Yeah.
It's something really fun. But then you add these like cutscenes in it. There are these like mini, like avant-garde, like art house films, like with them just like talking about random bullshit that doesn't even like make sense. But then it also does. You're like, okay, kind of cool. Like there's like a doctor who's like a singer. He's also on a baseball mound. He's like shooting
bullets,
and dodge them. And then he like slices stomach open, and he's like, I'm gonna rap a song for my daughter. And he's like on his hands and knees and bleeding. And then Travis is like, there's an open mic in hell, grandpa. And it's like, it's so funny. And it like there's like the writing does this thing that not anything can really do. Like it bounces back between this like depraved, but also like whimsical and like smart and like it's so strange.
Oh yeah,
but it's, for sure. It's definitely a game that you need to be older to appreciate. Cause like when I was younger, I just wanted to fight.
You just play as a brawler,
Yeah. But then like now I'm just like, whoa, this is saying something about people, about gamers, about video game as like a genre. Like it's very cool.
Suda's one of my favorite developers, because his stuff really is commentary. Like in a weird way, it's like it's social commentary about video games.
Mm-hmm.
He does such a great job with it. Yeah. I still want Travis Touchdown in Smash, but he's only coming as an outfit, unfortunately.
Dude, I was saying like, man, people wanted Travis in Smash. Like he's like an actual piece of shit. Like
But I've played the first game. I actually never played. I started the second game, never finished it. I only played like 15 minutes of the second game, and I have the disc for the Wii. I thought, I'm gonna play it on the Wii U. I'm gonna finish No More Heroes 2 finally. I have my Wii U stack of games, just like I still have like a 360 stack of games that I want to play. But I decided, I'm gonna once this came out, I was all excited. I'm like, okay, I can download the first and second games. I'd love for there to be a like combo pack of both games, so that you can get both of them, because a lot of people have never played the first two. The majority of folks who own Switches right now have never played the first two games. And so I think having them released as a pack, they did it with Deadly Premonition, just do it with this. I think people would buy it. They would buy it.
It's like they're both $20 on the store. Yeah. They're 10%
sale,
off.
Yeah.
Like I bought them right when I saw the tweet go up. I was like, oh, okay, I'll just go ahead and buy these. Because I knew I wanted to play them before 3 came out. And I've been wanting to play Travis Strikes Back, the top-down one. Mm-hmm. I've heard a lot about that from people.
Travis Strikes Again. Yeah, I have that one.
I've heard a lot.
It's a different kind of game.
Yeah, I've heard how that's just like a meta commentary about games. Like So I've been wanting to play that, but I've been wanting to replay the games. And now it's just kind of just like, come to Jesus moment, like, oh my gosh, this game's so good.
It's great. Does it have motion controls on there?
Yeah, it has motion controls, and you can also just not use them too. You can turn them off.
Okay.
So yeah, because I'm playing it on my Switch Lite. So,
you're shaking the Switch to recharge the battery.
You just use the right the right stick. You like shake it. But it'd be cool if I could
do that. Maybe you can with the removable. The controllers.
The
single Joy-Cons you can buy now.
Yeah.
Excellent. So No More Heroes. Cool. That's it?
That's pretty much it.
Okay.
I've been playing WoW a lot, but that's really, there's not really much to talk about.
WoW is eternal. WoW is eternal. Yeah. All right. Well, let me show you. Let me tell you what I've been playing. I have. I've been playing. Obviously, I talk about Octopath Traveler a lot, so I won't talk about that. But of course, that's a game that will normally take people about 40 to 50 hours. It'll take me 100 hours because I like to look around. That's what happens to me in JRPGs. I just double it, like you said.
Yep.
I've been playing the demo version of Hyrule Warriors that came out today. The demo did, and that's a meaty demo. Look, I like my Dynasty Warrior, I like my Musou games because they're kind of mindless. This one has a little bit more meta, not in the actual like battle portions because the battles are just waves and waves of enemies. But I do like how tied it is into the Breath of the Wild and the canon there, and how you utilize like they're not called spells. And how you utilize all the special abilities in Breath of the Wild, how they're used here, like bringing up ice pillars and using the paraglider, using the shield in certain ways. It does feel like an interesting take on a lot of those, and it works. So it's not like they're faking utilizing these things. They're actually building them into it and making it work. So that's nice. Visuals are great. It's probably on par with Breath of the Wild, although you are dealing with like hundreds of enemies on screen. So their poly count is a little bit lower and the shading's not quite there, but you're hitting 30, 40 at a time sometimes with special moves. So, but I'm digging it, and I'm digging all the like outside of the battle stuff. Like you can collect a lot of the raw materials. The same ones that you find in the original Breath of the Wild are here. So like, Lizalfo's tails and, so you're finding all that stuff, herbs and meat and wood and all that kind of stuff. And then in between battles, you're able to use that to sort of solve these little mini quests around the map. And so you'll click on a quest. It'll say, I need these many tails. I need these many berries. I need this. I need this many swords. And if you have that stuff, great. You'll open up, it could be a secondary quest that you'll open up, or it could be a merchant that pops in available. So there's a lot of these little things you could do. And I find that kind of fascinating. The actual demo itself is pretty meaty. I'm like 2.5 hours in. In this demo. And I think you can still get to, like, you basically have the first two, it's meant to be one big chapter. Like you're able to play the first chapter in this game. And the way it functions is that the first chapter is actually a bunch of these little areas. So it's not just like, hey, here's how you battle. It's here's how you battle. Here's how you upgrade. Here's how you level up. Here's the next portion where you start to utilize that stuff. Oh, by the way, we're giving you Impa. We're giving you Zelda. We're giving you whatever. And now that you're done with that and you figured out how to utilize the guardians, because they tell you what happens with the, I'm gonna ruin it for the next 30 seconds. I'll tell you what happens with the mini guardian, because it's the opening scene in the game. You turn on this demo. The opening scene is the little guardian, the little mini guardian. You're like, oh, what's he doing there? He's already in, like, it's the defeated Hyrule Castle. It's like, oh, this is weird. So it's, maybe you're reliving his memory. It's like, no, wait, all of a sudden he gets zapped into a time portal and sent back in time into the Age of Calamity. So the game is really weirdly from the viewpoint of this little dude who gets zapped into the past. So this, it is like a whole Link to the Past type of vibe to it. So interesting. And again, they tell you that right at the beginning. So it's not just the Age of Calamity stuff. It's like, here's the tie-in. I thought that was kind of cool. So playing that, almost 2.5 hours into it already. And now you can kind of go activate the Divine Beast. So there's like four more quests. I have no idea how long this is going to be. This just this first chapter. But this could each of these battles is like 40 to 45 minutes, depending on how you play it. If not more, if you're trying to solve stuff. So check that out. I played, and then I've also been playing Colors Live, which is the sketching thing for the Switch. I've been a fan of the Color series since it first appeared as sort of a DS homebrew app. Then it launched in the 3DS as a really cool 3D layer sketching program. I loved it. I could sketch on multiple layers, and you can make stuff look like it's like floating in space. And I did like really cool. I did all these Game of Thrones style sketches where you had like, you know, you're going into the mountain or you're going, you know, through the wall, and you're really able to capture some of that 3D feel. And then Nintendo, of course, ripped the 3D out of the out of the 3DS, and it's not even on their website anymore. Anyways, but and so you've lost that feel. Anyways, that game is they launch it on iOS, and now it's on the Switch. So you can sketch with your finger. If you just download the app, that's no problem. You can use any touch capacitive touch you have out there. But come to this. If you can order this. This is the special. They call it the Sonar Pen. And what it is, and I like the nib here, so I'll hold up the camera here. You kind of see it. It's got a hole in, so it doesn't scratch up the screen. this nib is actually weirdly attached to some sort of sonic device or whatever, manipulator. I don't know what even what it's called inside of this thing. And you take the cord, which stores handily in here, wraps around. You plug that into the headphone jack of the Switch. And depending on how hard you push, make sure the volume is all the way up on the headphones, you get different levels of pressure sensitivity. So the pressure sensitivity is built into this pen. It's an astounding piece of technology. It's so cool. And I thought,
that's cool.
They've really done something kind of nice. And this pen is, you know, the whole thing is like, I think, $30, the pen of the game or something like that. It's really cool. First time trying it, I had the audio is kind of finicky. You have to actually go into your settings and turn off the I think the Switch has a like this sound function in there that it prevents your heads from blowing up. Hey Stefan, how's it going? So we're talking about Colors Live. So it's this pen right here. So you have to turn it off and basically let the let the preventative measures of blowing your ear canal or your eardrums out be okay. But it doesn't matter because it goes through this. The louder the volume on the Switch headphones, the more accurate this thing is. So I've been doing a little bit of sketching. It's a little finicky at first, but I think I've got the hang of it. It's kind of a neat toy. I don't know how – I mean, I won't be using it for design work or anything, but it's still really cool. Maybe if I'm kind of bored, sitting and watching TV, and I don't want to sketch on my iPhone because the screen's smaller. I don't want to get the iPad. I don't want to get my drawing tablet. I'll just kind of pull the Switch out and doodle along. It's kind of cool. And you can actually save the videos of you doing line by line, stroke by stroke, coloring. That's kind of cool. So I already
posted. I saw you post those on Twitter.
I did an ALF and I did something else. I'll do some cars coming up soon. So just kind of messing with those two. It was my daughter's birthday today, so we had like a whole week of preparation for that. Halloween's this weekend, so kind of doing a lot of home preparation for just clean up and decorating and things like that. So didn't really get a chance to play too much. And I've been sick, so I've been, like I said, drowning in NyQuil to try to get this thing. But that's what we've been playing. Let's get into a little bit. I like the speed and the cadence of this episode.
Yeah, it's good.
Just two of us. Because whenever Aaron or JJ or someone else is on here, the minute you add the third person, it just goes, I think Aaron and I actually, just by ourselves, we recorded a nearly 2-hour episode, which was just insane, but whatever.
About what?
I don't remember. It was about games, but I don't remember how many freaking games we were playing. So whatever. Yeah, sidetracking. That's exactly it. We should sidetrack. So talk a little bit about news. News. A couple of the bigger stories that we'll start touching on. The first one, hey, you took that week off for Cyberpunk 2077, didn't you? Hope you didn't, because it's not happening now. Cyberpunk 2077 was delayed yet again. Here, I'll share my my Chrome tab of the news here. There we go. Cyberpunk 2077 delayed again. They sent the tweet out, was it yesterday? Yeah.
Yeah.
And basically said, hey, guys, yeah, hey, we know you're really, really looking forward to this game, but we blame console gamers, which is really kind of what they did.
Yep.
They said the PC version of the game is done. It's ready to go. Yep.
But give it, just give it. Give it to me.
Just give it to you. Give it to you. Ubisoft is happy, yeah. But the console version still requires a day zero patch and a bunch of other stuff. So it's that certification. So it's able to run all the contents there, but they want to make sure they get all the, I guess, all the content that they want tweaked before launch. And so it's now being pushed back from November 19th to December 10th, the same day as the Game Awards. Right? So I don't know how many of us will be tuning into either of those, but maybe we'll be playing Cyberpunk as we watch the Game Awards. I mean, how do you feel about it? Are you bummed?
Yeah, I'm super bummed. I was doing a huge like lore deep dive this week into the game, like reading all the handbooks from the tabletop. Oh, yeah. Cause like there's Cyberpunk 2020 and then Cyberpunk Red, which is are like the prequels to this game, because like the whole thing's connected. So I've been reading all like the magazines and the side stories and reading into the lore and the stats and just watching videos and just getting pumped, because like I don't watch trailers or stuff for games I'm excited for. I just don't, because it's like I already know I'm going to play it. Same. So I'm not going to watch it. So I always dig deep into like the actual backgrounds of the game. Okay. Stuff. Okay. Yeah, so then I was like, man, I'm just going to get deep into Cyberpunk and like run a game with my friends and get all excited. And then literally like two days later, that happened. I was like, oh, man.
So I had the following week off already for Thanksgiving week. Much like a lot of other Americans, we're trying to burn our available vacation days, because a lot of us just didn't use them over the whole quarantine lockdown. We were all home anyway. So I thought, I'm going to take that whole week off of Thanksgiving. I'll just sit and play Cyberpunk anyways, because it's out then. But looks like I'll just be playing Demon's Souls or whatever, the PS5 or Xbox
Assassin's series. Creed Valhalla.
I'll probably be playing the original Spider-Man game. Yeah. So I'll still be playing through that. So yeah, that's a bummer. As Stefan said, you know, Ubisoft is happy because all of a sudden Watch Dogs Legion is launching.
The Cyberpunk game.
It's the Cyberpunk game. They have a whole, basically 2 months to themselves to talk about, And so I believe it's definitely going to help them from that standpoint. Yeah. Cyberpunk's still going to sell like crazy. And now Cyberpunk has December all to itself. It's still before, you know, Christmas. The entire month of December is now, it might hurt Immortals, but Immortals, I don't know if any, yeah, I don't know.
What?
I'm interested in Immortals, but they've done a pretty crappy job of promoting
that game. Hey, I played that demo. It was free on Stadia. Okay. Yeah, and that game is not what I wanted it to be, because I was excited for it. I was like, oh, dude, a Breath of the Wild like clone, cool. Sure. Like I'm always excited when developers see games that do good and say, I want to do my take on that. I'm like always, okay, cool, do it. But this, like, it just feels wrong. It feels off. It feels like a Dark Souls game more than a Zelda game.
Wow.
It has weird controls. Like there's like L1 and X to run and like these like other like weird macros you got to do with your hand. Yeah. It's just, it doesn't feel good to play. Like the combat is really like stiff. It just like the exploration is fine, but like, I went around and did stuff. I ran around and did stuff, but like nothing ever happened. Like I was like, it really wants you to be like, oh wow, that's pretty, and that's it. Like there's like nothing there. Like Breath of the Wild has like, oh, you see something cool, you go up there. There's gonna be something like there.
Sure.
But this game is just like nothing. So I don't know if it's because it's a demo build or if that's how the actual game feels. But it was a letdown. I mean, like I use my free month of Stadia Pro to play this demo. I remember you
posting about that in the Discord.
So like, I was excited. I was like, yeah cool. Sure. I don't know. I'll definitely check it out. Like, I'll get Uplay Plus again for that month and try it. But yeah,
whatever they're calling it now, I think they changed the name of it again to like Ubisoft Plus. So,
it's It's like Ubisoft World.
No, Ubisoft Connect.
Oh.
And then Ubisoft Plus used to be – it's just, again, really weird. Who knows? But, yeah. Well, Cyberpunk, we hardly knew you. It is now technically out of the running for the Keely of the Year. For Keely of the Year, yeah.
The thing about Cyberpunk I'm really excited for is I did a lot of, like, digging into, like, podcast people who've had, like, hands-on with the game talking about it. And the thing that I've heard a lot of people say – is that the marketing for the game is very misleading for what the game actually is.
Really?
They're saying they're marketing it as like a Grand Theft Auto, like open world type of game. But everyone has said like it's a very intricate, deep RPG game with a first person shooter facade.
And that's the demos that we saw of it at E3 the last couple of years that when we went, you know, we noticed that too. It didn't really feel open world as much as it did more of, you know, there's specific locations and certain things you can do. So,
Yeah, people were saying like, yeah, like when you start playing, you're going to suck shooting guns. Like your guns are going to suck and you're not going to be able to like run up to that dude and like chop him in half. Like it's selling this power fantasy in the trailers, but it's not about that at all. It's about starting at the bottom, like working up. So I think the discussion around that game is going to be really fun. So I'm really excited when that comes out.
Cool. a game that finally got some release date, a quick one, is that we went down and mentioned, Darkest Dungeon 2 is coming 2021. They released a trailer this past week. So, yeah, I know a lot of folks, I know a few folks on staff are big Darkest Dungeon fans. So, yeah, now we know 2021. I mean, we knew it wasn't coming this year because I think it was January that they actually announced it. Maybe even before then, who knows? But now we know it's definitely 2021, and I guess we'll get into it more whenever it arrives. But yeah, interesting stuff there.
I'm excited to see how they push it because the game is already pretty hard.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, like they're adding snow to it, so they can always obviously add like, oh, you're cold. Like they could just add that. So yeah, it's going to be fun to see all the mechanics they put into it and maybe make the RNG not as hard as it is. Cause the game is very unforgiving. They could make it a little easier. But who knows?
Hey, you know, this guy, that's Nathan Drake. That's Tom Holland without a half tuck. The first images of Tom Holland as Nathan Drake from the Uncharted movie set were posted, and whatever. I mean, he's a young Nathan Drake. He looks young compared to what. Yeah, I think he looks fine. So, you know, I could see them building the franchise around him because he is so young, and really turning it into a franchise because. You bring in look at Indiana Jones. Indiana Jones wasn't a young dude. He wasn't as physical, in the films as Nathan Drake is as a treasure hunter in the game. In the game, Nathan Drake is shooting, he's climbing, he's jumping, he's doing all kinds of stuff. So in a weird way, you need a younger actor who can still do some of these things. Even though I'm sure they're going to have
Stunt double.
Yeah, a new actor for Sully. That mustache that we saw Mark Wahlberg have was crazy. I think they're actually doing this for the long term, and they've got. I mean, they already have. Sony has Tom Holland lined up for Spider-Man and a bunch of other projects. So they want him. They want him in Uncharted, and I think their full intent is that they probably got him for like 2-3 films easily. So get him now while he's hot actor, younger. He can kind of grow into that role so that as Spider-Man sort of transitioning off, he could come in as Nathan Drake. So,
yeah, with like, with Uncharted, we have that young origin story.
Yeah, we do.
Already, so we may see some of that.
Yeah.
So we have him as like a kid and him as a teen and him as like a young 20 something in jail and stuff. Like we already have that story in the game. So, anybody is saying like, oh, Nathan Drake, he's too young, is like, no, it doesn't matter because they've already explored that part of him. So
they had some of that in whatever. I think some of that was in Uncharted 3 and then in 4 as well, obviously. So yeah.
Yep.
Very cool. let's talk a little about Nintendo. Nintendo doesn't have any new games. They're just localizing old games now. I'm telling you. I'm going to tell you my theory after I go through all this. So they're bringing out the original Fire Emblem game, which has already been remade, right? They have it came out for the DS using that sort of Game Boy Advance era visuals and styles. This is the original one. What I find kind of cool, I don't have the picture in here. They announced this game for the anniversary. I think it's like $5.99 or something, so it's not all that expensive. But it comes with if you buy the physical version, like the $50 physical version or $40 version, it comes with a clear NES cart, which is kind of cool, and a bunch of other stuff. But they gave you like a map, an NES cart, NES package, a bunch of things, but they still only give you a download code for the game, so not like an actual cartridge. But I will say that, okay, so this game is only going to be available again until March 31st, just like Mario 3D, just like Mario, whatever the Mario 35, yeah. other projects. So, you know, you might think, why is everything ending all of a sudden at the end of March 31st? They have their end of the fiscal year is March 31st. So they're trying to get everybody to buy stuff as much as they can right now so that their numbers are kind of fluffed. They say, oh, listen, it's not going to be available. You have to buy it now. And so people will buy those copies earlier. They're going to say, all right, I can't get Mario later on. I got to buy it now. I actually think that they would probably look at those numbers down the line and say, you know, we've sold enough. Now we can let people know that it's going to be available longer. But yeah, they're doing everything to March 31st. So again, at first I thought it's the year end, get everybody to buy their products and make money. It's kind of it's a shady business practice, but it works. And then I started thinking and diving more into it. And it deals with some of the stuff they announced today and some of the rumors floating around. So we know Nintendo is working on their next console, an upgraded Switch. I'm hearing, you know, a lot of people call it the Switch Pro. I actually think it's going to be called the Switch Advance, like the Game Boy Advance, but it'll be called the Switch Advance. I've heard a couple folks actually mention it. Follow Hot Girl Tiffany Treadmore, I think is Hot Girl 69 or whatever her name is. Yeah. Your name is. Because she was kind of talking about this too. I've seen it in back alleys on like other, you know, message boards and stuff. But the next console, I believe it's going to be a sort of series of products. And what will happen is they'll have a home device without a, you know, removable console. They already have the patent out there for being able to use your Switch as a second screen, which kind of went live a year or so ago. I think their home console, their box, will be a streaming box that you'll be able to stream games to from the cloud. They're already showing it with, you know, they announced Control. Today, mm-hmm. which I played it, and I played it in this wirelessly, not even hooked up to the LAN, which I play Smash Brothers. I use it hooked up to the LAN. Really surprised at how stable it was, because you can select between like performance or graphics. Graphically, it's kind of dare say on this screen matches my PS4. So they're able to get that high fidelity for visuals that they've been pushing for, because it's just streaming video essentially. They also announced Hitman, which is coming to next gen consoles in 2021. The mini LED display for the Pro as well. I think there will be two Switches. One will be a home console that's built off of completely digital. It'll have a cartridge slot. I think Nintendo will sell first-party games digitally and on card, because they make a lot of money that way. I think they'll still have one of these suckers because this is a great and popular way to play your games. I play in mostly now I play in handheld mode.
Yeah, same.
I'll be watching TV, and then I'll play. And only if, like, Zelda was I dropping it in, or Smash Brothers, I'll drop it in. Or I want that big screen. But, like I said, they'll release a version of this with a better screen. And then I think they're going to release their own version of Game Pass, which is completely built on streaming so they can get those high-end games onto the Switch. We'll get that Cyberpunk. We'll get everything that's coming to, you know, third-party stuff coming to PS4, Xbox One, maybe the next-gen level stuff. But they can get that now. It's all just streamed. And, you know, Microsoft does it with Game Pass Ultimate. They're streaming it to phones. Why can't the Switch do it?
I think if you like want to dig deeper, you could also say that Nintendo and Microsoft are working together on this, and Microsoft used the phones as a testing for Nintendo. Yep. Say, hey, like we tested this, it works.
Yep.
And they've been working together a lot recently, so there really isn't it really isn't too far to reach to say, like, yeah, Nintendo and Microsoft would say we've been working together and Games Pass will be on Switch and blah blah blah. Like,
could you imagine the third party games on Switch are now delivered through Game Pass, right?
Yeah, it would work.
It would work. Why bother now? I mean, there'll be a few, obviously the Just Dance stuff that you need to be physical for, right? But there's no reason that can't be sold through Game Pass. And Nintendo could even sell their own version of Game Pass where all of their games, this is why I think the March 31st deadline is important. Everything's sort of ending this year, March 31st, because they'll say, hey, for $9.99 a month, you're getting our entire back catalog. That's why the N64 games haven't shown up on Switch. That's why GameCube games haven't shown up on Switch. It's why the releases for the Super NES and NES completely slowed down. I think there'll be tiered levels. They'll say retro games, NES, Super NES, Tetris 99, maybe Mario 35, whatever. There'll be sort of this lower tier that you're paying for now, the $20 a year, whatever it is for the family.
Mm-hmm.
You get the advanced level, Nintendo Switch Online Advance. You get access to, it's only monthly or, you know, $100 a year, whatever. You get access to our complete collection, so as soon as games launch, you will get them, just like Game Pass. But it'll be a strictly first-party games. And then they may also mine some of their classic retro, you know, virtual console. I think they want to get rid of the name virtual console, so they haven't used it as much, even though we all loved it. But I think that's what they're kind of angling towards. So you'll have this home streaming box. You can use your Switch, maybe the Switch Pro, whatever, to get video to. If you want to play off, you know, if you want to stream off that to this or whatever, or, you know, if you want to play on your TV, you'll have that that cheaper console, that $199 version that's just a 4K streaming box. So,
man,
I think that could be something that Nintendo really goes for and can make them a lot of money.
I think, and also you got to think about it for like third party devs and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, like these games notoriously run bad on Nintendo consoles. Yeah. So if you have streaming work and you can make third-party games just on like an Xbox and PS4, yeah, and make that work fine, and then say, and you can get the Switch version that works perfectly fine because you're streaming it. Like, yeah, that's a huge increase in sales for a lot of people. But then you got to think about how Nintendo announced the Switch. Like, they literally showed that thing off, and then a couple months later they had a big conference, and then a couple months later the console,
yeah,
came out.
Yep.
So they like had a big conference in December, then it came out in March, and I mean, like, Nintendo is really good about not talking about things until they're really close to coming out. Well, they weren't before, but now they're pretty good about, like, hey, we're talking about these games, they're coming out in the next 3 months or so. Mm-hmm. So I mean, like, in December at the Game Awards, at something, I would say a Switch Pro, some type of Xbox announcement would be very likely to happen.
I think so too. And I think you know, they had what's his name on Phil Spencer say, you know, I think he was asked a question about the whole, you know, game by game release for the Switch, and he said they did Ori, obviously they did a couple other games, Cuphead. It's not as easy as people believe, because you are porting the game, trying to get it to work. There's a whole complicated process. You don't know how it's going to sell. So he said, yeah, listen, I'm sorry. Game by game, it's just not working for us. Game by game is not working for you. If you could stream them, then I think Microsoft is In fact, the only thing that's holding it back is Nintendo right now. I think Microsoft actually has it running, the streaming running on Switch in some capacity. And they're waiting for Nintendo to give the thumbs up. And I think Nintendo is also kind of working on their own first-party Game Pass, so their stuff doesn't get mixed up, you know, because the last thing you want, and this has happened in the past, someone find, you know, if Microsoft said, just host the Switch games on our Game Pass, we'll, you know, you'll get the cut, whatever, we'll get a, you know, you'll get a cut from us. People would find a way, a back-end way to get that working on the, you know, the next-gen consoles. They'll find some IP address somewhere that they'll get, you know, Mario 3D All-Stars working on the Xbox Series X. But I think Nintendo would do their own that you're paying $9.99 a month for, but I think they'll say, you know what, Microsoft, why don't you just host the third-party stuff, because we want those next-gen games. We'll still sell games individually because you do still want to take a game with you if you're going on vacation or in the car or whatever. But, yeah, I think Nintendo has a lot of options right now. I think they're sitting in this strange position when you talk about the next generation of consoles coming out, that they may have the sweetest position in that they can work with, I mean, they're good friends with Microsoft. So they can work to kind of really push some cool things right now. So, and they're, yeah. Who do you think is going to make, who do you think is going to sell the most consoles this year? Sony's talking big numbers. I mean, I should say through the holiday season, from the release of the next gen consoles to the end of the, to the end of the, end of December. Who do you think is going to sell the most?
Nintendo.
Like, yeah. I think it's just because there's not going to be enough stock for the other consoles. I think that's basically going to be it.
And that, yeah, it's that, but it's also Animal Crossing. There's still people who don't have a Switch.
So, and I, you know, you got to believe that the Animal Crossing and the Mario 3D All-Stars advertising is going to shoot up, especially when you get the Animal Crossing Christmas stuff that's going to be coming in. Pretty soon here. So,
and well, the thing that's like, I think we might be running into is there might be more Xboxes and Switches than there are PS5s, because apparently the Xbox Series X has been in production since September, and I don't think the PlayStation's been in production as long. So
the Series X was actually in production before then. Like, the rumors were that it actually started production back in like springtime, because they wanted to get enough of these boxes ready for launch. They've been sitting on this thing forever. They knew it was going to be. They had the box design for a couple of years now, right? And so they're, I think they're, they've been ready.
There's tons of rumors about devs having overheating issues with PS5 and them having to do like a last minute redesign and stuff. And I mean, if we want to like look at that from a conspiracy angle, like it shows that it was a last minute change, because they apparently had like they had a horizontal design for it, and like the heat rising was causing overheating and stuff, and the Xbox being a vertical thing because the heat and vents and blah. It's PS5 is going to be in a weird spot. I think I would love to say that Xbox is going to be ahead, but they don't have any games.
Right.
So that's kind of like the issue. So I wanted to add on to the Game Pass conversation. Sure. I think what we're saying is definitely going to happen, because I mean, like the market and the business of games is going in the way of taking away ownership from us. Like they want to have all the ownership at the end of that. They want to have everything and have us just rent or like Netflix. And I mean, that's just the sad truth, but also at the same time, it's taking away ownership but giving us more options for cheaper, which is good. But then it just gets into the conversation of how much are they going to pay devs and how much are devs going to make from it and what's going to happen with the whole production and all that. But but I think the market as a whole is moving towards licensing, so
I think so too. And I think even Nintendo at this point is starting to realize it, so
and Nintendo and Microsoft are both their American headquarters are in the same city.
Yep. Right in Washington, baby. Down the street from each other. Really, I think the last bit of news that I wanted to cover before we sign off was Bugsnax. Now Bugsnax is a PlayStation 5 PS Plus title, right? I read that correct? Yeah. So you could still order it, I guess, if you want, but everybody has a PS Plus. So, yeah, got to talk about them Bugsnax. So
I think Bugsnax is going to be a special game. I think I think it's secretly a horror game that it should hide. Like that's a vibe I get. I feel like it's all like the whole thing's a facade. It's all fake.
It could be
like a secret horror game.
Could be this generation's Viva Pinata in a way. Yeah. Yep. And Stefan, yeah, it's gonna surprise people. I think moving into PS Plus is a smart thing. Because now you get home, you open up your PS5, you're gonna have a bunch of PS4 games, right? If you have PlayStation Plus, you have a bunch of that kind of collection that they have. You're gonna have Bugsnax, Astrobot. So you have all these free games, it's pretty insane to think that now you have all these games to play on day one. You don't have to pay for a new game. They're gonna sell a lot of PlayStation Plus memberships, that's for sure. And of course, Miles Morales launches that day too. So
yeah,
it's a good deal. Good deal.
On the other hand, you got Microsoft with Game Pass and 10,000 games or something.
It's insane.
And then they had some guy who works at Microsoft tweeted today that they put like 500,000 man hours into making sure that every game from Xbox 360 and Xbox One work on Series.
That's so cool. That's so cool.
Like, so
you really can't go wrong anymore on gaming content. You really can't.
It's really cool. It's really cool to see game developers and producers just being more nice. Like it hasn't been like ever. It's like a first time where people are being nice, playing nice. People who aren't playing nice are the fans, but that's just
So you saw the last bit of news here real quick. The Cyberpunk guys. They're getting death threats. It's a 3-week delay. Relax, gamers, relax. I don't think there's any other industry where this kind of behavior happens so often. And it's because, I'm going to say it, because you're dealing with dudes who are in their teens and early 20s. No offense to you, Zach, you're a young dude. I'm old enough to be your dad, I think, actually. I literally am old enough to be your dad. But it's the folks that were raised on this idea that they can get whatever they want, right? And it's because of the technology, because of social media. It's gotten way more toxic from that standpoint. So it's not elitist or anything like that. It's just that gimme, gimme, gimme. It's about me and not about people that are creating this stuff for me behavior. I mean, you look at that, like it goes to the whole, you know, I was talking to a buddy of mine today when someone tells him to stick, he's a sports radio host. People tell him, stop talking about politics, stick to radio on Twitter. And he's like, at the same time, I'm thinking, dude, they're following you. You can say whatever you want. They'll just unfollow you. You know, there's no reason for and it's that behavior. It's that stick to what I want to happen behavior. And gamers are key at that, you know, gamers, usually gamer dudes. But I know there's some women that do too. It's that behavior is pretty. It's pretty crappy. So we need to grow on that. We need to grow on that.
Let people design. I've never understood that. I was a kid. I was raised on IGN message boards. Like I was always in forums talking, and like I remember waiting for Twilight Princess news to come out, and like and it being delayed in like 2004. Like, oh my gosh, it got delayed. And reading forums, and it got delayed again and again and again and again. Like that game got delayed so many times. But like we just talked about it on forums, like, man, that sucks. Like, cool, whatever. But then, I mean, I just don't get being so mad about a game not coming out. Like, and also with this, it's just like 2 weeks. Like,
I think people need to do one thing. Let me rephrase that. They should stop doing one thing. And the game maker should stop allowing this too. the pre-orders because people think that they're entitled right now. I put my $60 down for you to have this game on this date, and you broke that contract. So I could be mean to you. I could be an a-hole to you. Not realizing that $60 is for whenever the game is due. Read that fine print, blah, blah. But the money's involved, and that's where they get their freak out. So I would say, game makers, I understand, developers, publishers, you make a lot of money ahead of time from pre-orders. You say pre-order now, but you are not helping the situation when this happens. Maybe instead of allowing pre-orders so far in advance, I pre-ordered Cyberpunk in 2018 or 2017, maybe even before then. Metroid Prime 4, I did it in like 2018 or 2017. So I think what they need to do is not allow pre-orders for games until you see what happened with the consoles. People were losing their mind. Maybe like with movies, which is like, okay, you can start pre-ordering 2 weeks out. Because at least then you know when something is there. Yeah, I'll be waiting forever. Yeah, I know. Waiting forever. But at least then you'll know when the game is available. So
it's like there's also I don't get like if you get it digitally, like you're gonna get it. Like you don't have to worry about not getting it. Like you're gonna get it when it's done.
Yep.
But also it's like I think you're right about devs being quiet about when things come out. Cause after you make a promise, you set up an expectation.
You do. Unfortunately.
That's why studios like Rockstar
they do a great job of it.
They don't say shit for years. then like a year of they're like, hey, here's Red Dead 3. Whatever, but like, and Cyberpunk has been such a hot IP for so long. Like, they announced this game was going to come out in like 2013. Like, it's been they've been talking about this for forever. It doesn't help that The Witcher 3 was so popular. It doesn't help that Netflix series is good. Like, that just feeds into this idea. Is like, this game is going to be so fucking good. It's going to be so good. And yeah, it's bad. I don't get it. I don't get being mad about it. I mean, I pre-ordered the game last week because I was like, oh, cool. I should pre-order it before my next paycheck comes out so I can just get it. Like, but then now it's like, oh, cool. I could have waited, but whatever. I'm not going to be mad.
Yeah. It was a while since we saw the initial trailer. Yeah.
It was it was legit maybe 5 years.
Yeah, it was.
It was like 2013. They had that visual of the lady being shot at. And then The Witcher 3 came out, and then that had support for two years or whatever. Then, Cyberpunk. So,
well, Zach, thank you for joining me tonight. My voice is gone, shattered. I'm gonna rest. I'm gonna sleep. I'm gonna fall on the couch and play some video games. I drank my entire glass of adult beverage here, so I'm waiting for that to go through my system, and I can take my NyQuil. Where can we find you, my good man?
Find me on Twitter at OKQuest. I'll probably be talking a lot about the new Story of Seasons coming out.
Cool. Yeah. You can find me at Dali Domofsky. You can find us at SideQuesting. Watch our new show, A Dark Figure Ahead, where we talk about
spooky
things like cryptids. So check that out. If my voice is good this week, we'll record a second episode. but other than that, we'll see y'all. We love you. Take care. Vote, because it's an election year, and we will we'll see you next week. Take care, everyone. Bye.